Psalm 37, we'll look at the first eight verses tonight in a little series I'd like to do on Psalm 37. It's hard to do all of it in one night. It's a wonderful book, a little series, though, entitled The Steps of a Good Man, Psalm 37. Psalm 37, this is one of those psalms that compares the life of a righteous man to that of an evil man in order to drive home the facts that are summarized in verses 23 and 24. Look at them. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. That's a couple of verses worthy of our committing them to memory. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. We need to remember that. It's a psalm of David. It's a psalm of David in his old age. Look at verse 25. I have been young and now am old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. So he's an older man now. It's written sort of in the style of the Proverbs. Each pair of verses perhaps could sort of stand alone as a message. But as the Lord helps, we'll try to make an effort to discover the intended continuity of thought as we move through there. In the first seven verses, David offers four privileges of the believer that deliver him from anxiety. Do you ever have anxiety? Four things that we want to talk about, four privileges as believers that deliver us from anxiety. You say, well, what anxiety? He begins verse 1, fret not. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. Fret not thyself because of evildoers. Now, David would know about evildoers. He had individuals in his life like Saul, who we heard on Sunday, made about five or six attempts on his life, would have killed him if he could. He had Nabal, remember the guy who wouldn't provide for David's men, an evil man. He had Shimei. Do you remember when Absalom rebelled and David had to get out of town and Shimei stood on the hill and threw dust in the air and threw rocks at him and cursed him? As he was leaving and as he came back, his story changed just a bit. And then you got, well, Absalom. Absalom rebelled against his own father and would have stolen the kingdom away from his own father. And then there was another son by the name of Adonijah. You remember Adonijah, son of Haggith, one of David's wives. And while David was on his deathbed, Adonijah would steal the kingdom from his father. Of course, his father wanted Solomon to sit on the throne after him because that's what the Lord told him to do. But Adonijah was about to steal the throne. The Lord taught David that in all of these circumstances that he was not to fret. He was not to fret. And that's what he's teaching us here in Psalm 37, that we don't need to fret. What does it mean to fret? Well, to heat oneself in vexation, to worry, if you will. Our fretful thoughts become the catalyst to our boiling emotions. Our emotions, sometimes they just run rampant. They go crazy and we get all worked up about things. We shouldn't fret about them, David says. Do you ever lay awake at night rehearsing something somebody did or said to you during the day? I wish I could say I didn't do that, but sometimes I do. Then I think about what I said back to them, and then I think of what I wish I had said back to them. And before long, it's 2 o'clock or 3 o'clock in the morning, and I still haven't gone to sleep. Our stomachs burn with indigestion, and sleep won't come at night. Not only should we not worry about things and fret over them, but surprisingly in this verse, David says, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. Envious? Envy? To be jealous of them? To wish to be like them? Envy them, David? Did you use the right word? Yes, he did. Envious of the workers of iniquity. Well, who are they? The workers of iniquity, they're people who use evil devices or an evil means to an evil end. You know any of them? There are many around us. God hates them. The Bible says in Psalm 5 and verse 5, the foolish shall not stand in his sight. Thou hatest all workers of iniquity. One of these days I want to preach a message about God's hatred. God hates. We need to understand it. It's a perfect hatred. It's a righteous hatred. God hates sin. Why would anybody, though, envy these evil workers? Well, stop and think about that. This is not that hard. Because they live sort of with a carefree spirit. They don't care who they've offended. They just seem to be okay. Just go with the flow. You lay awake at night steaming while they probably sleep like a baby. Because they seem to enjoy all of the things that you're commanded to refrain from. You could envy them, in a sense. And the Lord says, fret not over them and certainly don't envy them. To help us not to envy them, he reminds us of their end in verse 2. He says, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Grass only grows for a season, you know. And did you ever notice when it's cut, like the grass in your yard that's just in the leaf, so to speak, did you ever notice that when it's cut, it doesn't lay there long and before it's just, it disappears, it's gone. It went down in and just went back to the soil. If you cut it while it's in seed, you'll make hay. And it dries out on a good hot day. It doesn't take much more than that. And it's just withers away. And he says these who we could envy and fret over, these evildoers, he says, you need to remember, they're going to be mowed down like the grass of the field one day. So he's saying, don't worry about what evil people do or be envious of their seeming prosperity, because they'll be mowed down. They'll be done away with in the judgment. And then the next verses through verse 7 provide the perfect four-part alternative to fretting. Okay, so I'm going to give you 4 points, a perfect alternative to fretting. This is what the Lord says. In verse 3, the first one is, trust in the Lord. Brothers and sisters, don't fret. Trust in the Lord. And do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. So trust means that we have confidence in Him. We have confidence in His promises, that God will do what He says. If we'll ask Him to, and if we'll trust in Him, if we'll believe in Him, He'll do what He says. That's trust. Charles Haddon Spurgeon said, faith cures fretting. Sight is cross-eyed and views things only as they seem. Faith has clearer optics to behold things as they really are. He was the prince of preachers, Spurgeon. Had a way with words, put things in perspective. I think he did just there. Faith. Try to view things through the eyes of faith. That's what God wants us to do. If we'll do that, we won't fret. Trust in the Lord instead. In the immediate context here, we're talking about we're to trust that the evil man will not prosper in his ways. You don't have to fret over him and you don't have to envy him, because he's going to come to his end. And while we're trusting rather than fretting, we should not forget about good works, doing good. You see it there in verse 3? Do good. Good works are actually the result of our trusting. Is that right? If we exercise faith, it will produce good works. Is that right? That's what the Bible says, isn't it? In Ephesians 2:10, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. God wants us to do good works. It will be the result of our faith. I like the way James puts it in James chapter 2 and verse 17. Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is faith, dead faith. Is that what he means? It's dead faith. It's not the real thing. It's not living, life-producing faith. Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I'll show you my faith by my works. I'll show you my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God. Thou doest well. The devils believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead. It's dead faith, not life-producing faith. So what do you say to those whose faith produces no work? Well, there's something wrong here, isn't there? That's what James is saying. If a man who claims to have faith does no works, that's reason enough to question whether he's got the goods or not, whether or not he's truly has saving faith. Faith will produce good works. Listen, fretting will prevent them. Trusting God will produce good works. Fretting and worrying about it will prevent good works. Fret not. Trust the Lord and do good works, he says. The result of our faith will be good works. The result of our good works will be God's blessing. God blesses the labors that we offer him. The result of our faith is good works. The result of the good works is God's blessing. For now, I found it so. I found if you serve the Lord, if you give yourself to the Lord, that he blesses you right now. But what about our eternal future? The blessings of the Lord. Standing before the Lord to hear him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. To receive those crowns that he's talked about in his scripture. That recognition. Is that worth anything? Well, I think it is. Secondly, rather than fretting, David says, verse 4, delight thyself also in the Lord. That's number 2. Delight thyself also in the Lord. In other words, let him be what makes you happy, the Lord. We approach birthdays. By the way, happy birthday to Nate, 80th today. Today, praise the Lord. We approach Christmas and we want to know, hey, what could I get that would really make you happy? We may not use those words, but that's what we want. We want to overjoy them with our gift that we get them, our children, our grandchildren, our spouses, whatever it might be. What could I get to make you very happy? Maybe an easier to understand illustration that we can apply this concept to would be our relationship to our spouse. The Bible says, let her be as a loving hind and pleasant roe. Let her breast satisfy thee at all times, and be thou ravished always with her love. I was studying this, and I said to my wife as we backed out of the garage today, I just read that I should be ravished with your love. What's that? To be ravished, to be overwhelmed, overjoyed with the love of my spouse, the love of my life. Are you that way? Well, that's ideal, isn't it? To be overjoyed with the love of our spouse. Men, that's where we ought to be. To keep our attention on our spouse, nobody else, but to be made happy by our spouse. And ladies, how about you? To be satisfied and overjoyed with your spouse. That's the way God intended for it to be. Now let's move this into our vertical relationship. Whether you have that relationship with your spouse or not, I know that you know what I'm talking about. Do you have that kind of relationship with the Lord? Is he really what makes your heart glad? Oh, if I could please the Lord today, that would make my day worthwhile. Lord, what can I do for you today? In my vertical relationship, in my relationship with my God, is he what makes me glad in my heart? Am I ravished with his love? With the love of my Lord? Delighted in him? Do you delight in the Lord? You say, well, okay, you said it, but answer in your heart. Do you delight in the Lord? Does he make you happy to think about the Lord? Don't fret. Delight in the Lord. One of the four parts of this absolute certain way to do away with our fretting is to delight in the Lord. Delight in the Lord. When you get to where He is your delight, the result will be that the desires that you have for the things of the Lord, or that the desires that you have will be the things of the Lord because you love Him. He says next here in verse 4, He shall give thee the desires of thy heart. Not our wants, not our wishes, but the deep innermost desires of our heart. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will He withhold from them that walk uprightly. He can do that because if we delight in the Lord and surrender our wills to His will, we would only desire the things that would please Him. Right? If we delight in Him and He is the love of our life, then we would only want to do what pleases Him. And Paul said, Lord, that I may know Him in the power of His resurrection and in the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death. That's a very morbid wish list, Paul. Not to Paul, it wasn't. To know the Lord even better. I think we can say safely that Paul's delight was in the Lord. He delighted in the Lord. Thirdly, verse number 5, commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. Number 3 is commit thy way unto the Lord. Rather than fretting, just commit thy way unto the Lord. The way means the direction, the path that you're on. Someone coined the phrase, let go and let God. Did you ever hear that? Let go and let God. A bus company used to say, get on the bus and leave the driving to us. You heard it too. It was Greyhound, wasn't it? There's a biblical illustration in Acts, and I like to read Acts 27. It's the big storm, Euroclydon. You remember that? And Paul's on the ship and he's headed to Rome. But not long after, there arose against a tempest of wind called Euroclydon. And when the ship was caught and could not bear up into the wind, we let her drive. We let her drive. And when it was day, they knew not the land, but they discovered a certain creek with a shore into which they were minded, if were possible, to thrust in the ship. And when they had taken up the anchor, they committed themselves unto the sea and loosed the rudder bands and hoisted up the mainsail to the wind and made toward shore. So the ship, the sails go up and they just let go of the wheel. They let the ship go in toward the shore. We have to commit our ways to the Lord like that. Our ways. What is our way? Our path. Lord, what do you want to do with me? Whatever it is, it's okay. Did you ever pray, Lord, use me in my riches, in my poverty, in my sickness, in my health, in my life, in my death? Lord, just use me. Commit your ways to Him. Lord, I'll do whatever you ask me to do. I'll go wherever you want me to go. Commit your ways unto the Lord. Now, He probably won't move most of us out of Maine. Probably not going to send us very far away. Could. Probably not. But there's somewhere, there's a way that He wants you to go here in Maine, in Corinth, Maine, and around in this surrounding area here. There's a place that God wants to use you. Commit your ways unto the Lord. Trust also in Him. Be confident. Be bold. The result, He shall bring it to pass. So you'll make it and you'll get where you're going. And verse 6, and He shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light and thy judgment as the noonday. To those who trust the Lord and they commit their ways to Him, they'll not only come out on top, but they're going to have their righteousness put on display. The Lord's going to make of them a trophy of His grace. A trophy of His grace. He'll put our righteousness on display. These are pretty deep thoughts. To put our righteousness on display. A trophy of His grace. I want that. Lastly, after we've hoisted the mainsail and committed our way to the Lord, we can, verse number seven, rest in the Lord. Number four. That's the last one. Number four, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. To rest means to be silent, to be still. If you're rowing a boat, lift the oars, put them in the boat. Commit yourself to the current. Don't assume command again. Don't control again. Exhausted men on the battlefield will be up several days, I've heard, and no sleep, zero. They're running on adrenaline until finally they run out. And they can be right against the battle lines and the guns are blaring. And they'll lay themselves down and go to sleep on the battlefield because they just can't go any further. We don't need to wait until we're exhausted to rest in the Lord, but that's what we need to do, is rest in the Lord. When we've delighted ourselves in Him, we've committed our ways to Him, we can have confidence in Him and rest. And He adds to that, wait patiently. The idea here is patiently through writhing pain. That's what the word is expressing. I had my eardrums rupture. Do you ever, anybody here ever have your eardrums to rupture other than my wife? It hurts, doesn't it? Until they rupture. When they rupture, the pain's gone. But until then, it's excruciating. I've had mine rupture at least three times that I remember, especially in my right ear, and I would go and try to get some attention, try to get something for the pain. And I could wait as long as I was on my way to get help. Being on my way to get help made the difference. If you know there's no help in sight, oh, wow, how terrible is that? We have to wait on the Lord, knowing, though, that He'll respond to us. He'll answer our prayers. He'll come to our rescue. He's our Father. How long do we wait? Well, until God does what He's promised. We wait until then, but help's coming. Being fully persuaded that what He had promised, He was able also to perform. Romans 4:21. It has a context, but the idea, wow, God's able to do what He's promised. So in the latter part of verse 7, David sort of repeats his original thought. He says, "Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wickedness or wicked devices to pass." A repetition, if you will, in these first seven verses for the sake of emphasis, I think. He says, fret not. Don't worry about what evil people do or be envious of their seeming prosperity, because they're going to be mowed down like grass. And worry is going to destroy your rest. And worry is going to spoil your usefulness. As believers, we should rather trust in the Lord. Your faith will produce good works, and good works will be rewarded by the Lord. The Bible says the just shall live by faith. You like the way I punctuated that? It's what it means. By faith we'll live. We'll enjoy the abundant life by faith. Number two, delight yourself in the Lord. The result will be the desire of the things of the Lord. And if we desire the things of the Lord, He'll be obliged to give them to us. Number three, commit your way to the Lord. Well, when? Well, when you're misquoted, when you're falsely accused, when you're cheated. The promise is you will get where you're going, and your righteousness will be on display along the way as a trophy of God's grace. And then lastly, number four, rest in the Lord. Don't fret, rest. Too often we cast our care on Him and then we take it right back up again. Oh, I'd have to say guilty to that. Maybe I'm getting a little bit better as I get older, but I'm certainly not there yet. How about you? Do you worry? Do you fret? T. Baird wrote this little poem. It is God's will that I should cast on Him my care each day. He also bids me not to cast my confidence away. But oh, how I am so foolish that when taken unawares, I cast away my confidence and carry all my cares. I can relate. Maybe you can too. Read it with me again. Verse 1. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thy heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. And He shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord, wait patiently for Him. Fret not thyself because of him that prospereth in his way, because of the man that bringeth wicked devices to pass. Oh, if we could only rest in the Lord, if we could only take this advice, trust in the Lord, delight thyself also in the Lord, commit thy way unto the Lord and rest, and rest. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the opportunity to share the word tonight. Thank you for how you've blessed my heart, even in delivering it. And I pray that you would use this, Lord, in our lives. Help us to be doers of the word, not hearers only. Father, I sense that there are others probably who fret along with me. Forgive us, Lord, and help us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.